Welcome to our message series called All Things New. This comes off of this big day for us as a church, as Jesus followers, this thing that separates us as a group of people that follow Jesus from other people, and that's this resurrection of Jesus. He has this new life, and through Jesus, He is making all things new. And we started this last week with that core thing deep down inside us, this thing within us that needs to be made new, this place in our inner selves where we have our thoughts and we have our emotions. It's the place that our desires come from, and it's this place that we ultimately make decisions with. We choose things through this place. We called it and saw it in the biblical term called the heart, right? In our heart. And it gets separated between heart and mind, but just for simplicity's sake, we're just going to call it heart, right? And there is something about this where we realize we need a new heart. Jesus is making and giving us a new heart. And that seems really like passive, like, okay, just do it, do your work, do the thing. But there's some active things that we do for, like seeking to have a new heart. And not just any heart, but seeking to have God's heart, that we can actually seek God's thoughts and God's emotions. We can seek after what God desires and what God would choose. And so it's this partnership that happens, what we seek and what God gives, and we have this new heart. Now, if we're going to have a new heart, we're going to actively seek, and if we're continually to actively seek God's heart of things, right? If we're going to do that, it's another biblical term that they use, and it's called walking with God. And so we have a new walk, a new way to walk, a new way to live, right? It's continually to seek God's heart. That's what that is. So a new walk is what we're going to be talking about today. And to try to give us some way to kind of make sense of this, I think what helps for me is thinking back to when my wife Amanda and I were first dating. When we were first dating, we would go to this place that we called Maplewood Park. It was in Maplewood, Minnesota, and it was just this park, green space in all the suburbs area, and it had a path that went around a pond, and it was just really nice. We just walk along that. Now, I don't know if that's the actual name of the park, but that's what we called it. And so we would just go on our dates, and we would go, and we'd walk around the path, and we would talk, and we'd get to know each other, learn new things about one another. We would learn what we were thinking. We could talk with each other about what we're feeling. We would discover some of the desires that we had. Did they match up with each other? And what choices were we facing that maybe we might choose? That ultimately that led to us walking with our lives together in marriage. We're going to walk in marriage. But the point is that it doesn't have to end up that way. You may have friends that you walk alongside with. You know that you've had these times where you develop these friendships with them. And you walked with them, and you learned more about them, right? And it might be true for that friendship as well as it is in marriage. We started off our journey together, walking together, and then, you know, we had some tragedies in our life. We had sickness, and we had loss, and we had death that we experienced as a couple. We had these hardships and this suffering, and it was hard, but we walked through it together. And then we had kids, this good, beautiful thing of having children, but you know, they demand a lot from you, and it's like you can't really walk with one another so well, and you start to become more like roommates than actually husband and wife. And I know that there's some families, some couples right now, you're right in that spot. You've got young kids, and they demand a lot of attention, and you just feel like you're just roommates. You're not actually walking around the path together anymore. It doesn't feel like that. Or you have friendships that have been that way, right? It started off really close, and then as life has changed, now all of a sudden you're not walking with each other as much as you did before, and you've become distant. It's part of the walk, isn't it? walking with people. And here's the ultimate thing, is that it doesn't have to remain that way. Right? There, we can actively engage in reestablishing and walking with one another. And that's a beautiful thing that Amanda and I get to do now. We got a dog to solve the problem. And well, here's the deal. The dog, he's great, but he's still a puppy. And if he does not go for a walk that day, he is trouble, right? He is trouble. He gets into things. He starts chewing on things. He takes things out of the trash. I mean, we have a 5-pound weight we have to set on the trash lid so he won't get into it, right? And we're at a place now that we go and walk with him. And not every day, but most days, we go and we walk him together. We look forward to it. We start, again, hearing what each other are thinking and what each other are feeling and what desires we're having and some things that we may need to choose in the future. Right? It's a kind of a full circle type of thing. And the reason why I'm saying this is that I feel like this is a lot of the way that a walk with God can be like. For some of us, we're like, I didn't even know that we could walk with God. What does that even mean? Even metaphorically, how do we walk with God? We'll get there, okay? And for some of us, you're like, yeah, that actually does sound like my walk with God. I start out walking with him, and it's exciting and learning lots. And then, you know, life started to happen, and it wasn't always good, and it got really hard. And either I stepped away and started walking in a different direction, or it just feels like God did. God is not as present as God once was. And how do we get back to walking with God once again? That continually to seek after God's own heart as a daily practice in life. Well, I want to share some people with you from the Bible that walked with God and invites us to walk with God as well. The first one I want to share with you, there's 4 lines in the Bible that talk about this person's life and walking with God. And actually, it's a beautiful example of walking with God. And just give it a little context here. He's a descendant of the first couple in the Bible, Adam and Eve. And there's in a list of their generations of kids and their grandkids. And the thing to notice about this list and generations, you might be overcome if you hear it and you're like, wow, they lived a really long time, 700 years, 800 years. But the thing is that something that Adam and Eve had done actually brought death into that world. They were cut off from this paradise with God and life with God. And it brought this death in. And so each one of their lives ended with, and then they died. And then they died. Didn't matter how long they lived, they still died. Okay? And then they died. And this person's name is Enoch. He's the seventh descendant from Adam and Eve. And his story consists of 4 lines. I'm going to give you half of it. But just listen to what happens when he is walking with God. Genesis chapter 5, verse 23. Enoch lived 365 years. I know, it's a long time. 365 is significant. I don't have time to go into why, but we can talk later. It's really kind of cool. Walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared because God took him. That is half of his whole life story. Walks in close fellowship with God, and then he disappears. He does not experience death. He walks with God so closely that God just takes him up with him, bypasses death. Now, here's my question. How come the rest of the Bible is filled with people that walked with God or didn't walk with God and sometimes did and sometimes didn't, and that's what our big focus is? Why not more about this guy? Right? I want to know how to do that. I want to know how to live in such close fellowship with God that I'm just... don't even have to worry about death, right? I just want to be taken right up. That would be wonderful. It'd be fantastic. And that is basically his life story. That's it. That's what you get. So why all these other people? Well, because I think that's an anomaly, right? I think that's an abnormality. It's a glitch in the system, isn't it? Right? It is something that we want to be, that is possible for us. And yet, we are so much more like the rest of the people in the Bible. that maybe we didn't even know that we should be walking with God. I didn't know that that was a possibility. That was an invitation. Or sometimes we had started walking with God and then life happened and we kind of got off the mark or off the trail and distracted, or it felt like God stopped walking with us, type of thing. And that's much more our story. We maybe even failed in some way to walk with God. That's our story. That's what we keep seeing over and over and over. And it just gives this picture of like darkness for life, that we're just kind of walking around in the dark, not just trying to figure things out as best we can. And we need someone to show some light onto us, to reveal something for us so that we can see the path that we're supposed to walk on. Or even seeing the direction that God wants us to go, or even see where God is inviting us into or back into, right? Actually, Jesus talks about that. He talks about who he is and how he invites all of us, whether you've been walking with God and then failed to or got off track or whatever, never experienced that before, and it's the first time to be walking with God. He talks about himself in this way in John chapter 8, verse 12. He says, Jesus spoke to the people. This is to the people, not just his disciples, to the crowd, everybody that's there, everyone that's present. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. I'm not the sun or the moon or the stars. I'm that light, the light that just sheds light at the very beginning of creation. I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, which is walking, right? It's walking language. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that does what? Leads to Enoch. Yeah, the life, right? Just right into life with God, right into that whole experience. You get to experience it. You get to be a part of that, even though you're walking in this world that might be filled with darkness. And sometimes that darkness overshadows you. Yet you still have this light because you're following one that has the path that leads to this life with God. And you're invited into it. He's talking to all people there, right? It's not just the disciples, but everyone that had showed up. All of us get to be invited into this. Now, Jesus says this, and it sounds really good, and there's a lot of people that are like, okay, all right, I'll follow. I'm going to follow because I want this light in my life. I want to know how to continually to seek after God's heart. I really do need a light shined on what God thinks so I can think that. I need to understand better what God feels and what God desires so I can feel those things and desire those things. I need someone to point me in a direction that is all about choosing life. That's what I need. So they followed. They followed. Then they had their idea about who Jesus really is, this one that is God with them, to walk with them and to talk with them and to help them to understand more about who God is. And what happened? Well, the darkness of their heart overtook them because they end up killing him, right? We remember this story. This one that was directing people to light, they kill him. And for those that were following him, they're just dismayed. They're confused. This is not the way that this was supposed to go. Now, if I'm following Jesus, are they coming for me next? Maybe I'm next on the list that needs to be arrested and then killed. I don't know. And then they start hearing some stories about Jesus that he's not, but we saw him. Oh, yeah, but he's alive again. He rose from the dead. That's that Easter thing. That's where we started. Then all of a sudden, all things are going to be new now. But they're confused. They're still confused about this whole thing. What does that mean? And I feel like that's like a section of our lives, isn't it? When we get it and we start walking with God, or we start have this new walk with God, and then confusion sets in. Things don't go the way that we even thought they would or should. Or we thought, yeah, we were really actively going this way, and then something happened and it turned it upside down, right? We got off track in some way. We're confused, and we're just like those disciples. We're confused. And Jesus starts appearing to his disciples as the resurrected Jesus, showing that he's not dead. In fact, there's a couple of disciples that they're walking on this road back home, back to something's familiar, and they're talking about this. It's been a crazy week. All of their hopes about who God is and what God is going to do through Jesus have been gone. Yet they are hearing this report that, well, Jesus is still alive. And they're walking back on this road, and Jesus comes and walks alongside him. Well, both of them walks alongside them. And he starts asking them, well, what are you guys talking about? And they're like, well, you've been living under a rock? Like, how can you not know what just happened this last week? Like, this guy, Jesus, we really thought he was God here with us. And he showed us so many things about how to walk, but then they killed him. They killed him. He's dead. But then we hear these reports that he's still alive. And Jesus does something for them. He becomes that light of the world for them. He helps to show them really what God's plan is. They knew part of the plan. They thought they understood it, but they were missing a piece of it that would help it make much more sense. So in Luke chapter 24, this is what they say. Then Jesus opened their minds, right? Their hearts. Opened their minds to understand the scriptures, their very Bible. And he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah, this one who was anointed by God to come into this world, he would suffer and he would die and he would rise again on the third day. You guys missed that. It's right there, but you skimmed right past it. You didn't really embrace that. It is also written that this message would be proclaimed in all authority of his name to all the people, to all nations, everyone's included, beginning in Jerusalem and going on from there. And here's the message. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. There's forgiveness of sins for all who repent. Now, you may have your own idea of what that looks like and what that means, but it is walking language. It is the language of a walk with someone. There is forgiveness for sin. Do you understand what sin is? Now, you might have some pictures in your mind, but ultimately what it is, it's missing the mark. That there is some place that you are to be able to get to, and if you don't get there, you've missed the mark. Maybe you've gone off in the wrong direction. Maybe you've chosen to go a different way, but you've missed the mark. That's what it's about. Now, there's a variety of ways in which we do that. A lot of it has to do with the way that we treat God and the way we treat other people, right? If we're just talking in general terms, but you end up missing the mark. So if you miss the mark, if you've got this destination that you need to reach, but you didn't reach it, you missed the mark, what do you need to do? If you're not going towards the mark, what do you need to do? Right, turn, right? Turn to it. That's repent. Repent is language for walking. It's turning. To physically turn back towards that mark. And what helps us to return towards that mark? Well, knowing that God says that you're forgiven for missing the mark, just come back towards this way. Turn to me. You can walk with me. I hadn't left. You left. Yeah, I've been going this direction. Maybe you didn't even know that. You've been doing your own life from the very beginning. Like, it's okay. You didn't know. Come and be with me. Walk with me. That's all walking language. But it takes what God has done, offering the forgiveness, right? But it also takes us, isn't it? You actually have to turn. You actually have to take the steps. You have to move in that direction. Walk with God. That's how we get to be part of that. Now, here's the strange thing, is that there's an actual physical thing that you can do that shows that. That shows that you have made that move to that direction. It's a real physical thing that you do. Not just this metaphorical inside your heart thing, or as my boys would say, it's a literal, like a literal thing to do. Okay? Literally, you get to do this. And here's the way, that as Jesus followers, we're working out how this was. How do we move towards this direction? They connected it with this physical action, and it was called baptism. And I know that sounds weird, doesn't it? Because when we think about baptism, they're like, what does that got to do with walking with God? What does that have anything to do with that? But it does. It's everything. In fact, they made the connection piece with Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection, and then walking with him. Let me show you what I mean by Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore, we have been buried with him, Jesus, through baptism into death. So it's baptism, going under the water, you're dying, okay? So that as Christ was raised from the dead, coming up out of the water, new life, from the dead, through the glory of the Father, so we might, what? Go ahead. Walk in what? Newness of life. We pass right from death to life. We experience this life like Enoch, right? Yeah, okay, so we're going to actually physically die. I get that. But like that doesn't have like a big hold on us anymore. We experience this life because of what Jesus did. That he made a way for us to get back to the mark. That there is this forgiveness for us, and we can physically show that by baptism. That's the way that they connected it in their minds. This baptism is exactly that. It's getting back to the mark, accepting that forgiveness, showing that, and then you get to walk in newness of life. Now, for some of us, we remember our baptism. Remember that day that you got baptized, and that's what this is about, like recalling that. Every moment of your life, like, oh no, I remember, I want to walk with God. I made that physical statement to move towards God and to walk with God. And for some of us, maybe you don't remember that. Maybe you were a baby and it was, you know, done for you to bring you into this. And either way, here's where I'm going with this, is I think we all need to learn more about our baptism and what baptism is, especially since it has this connection with walking in this newness of life that Jesus gives, this life that Enoch got to experience because he walked with God, that we're all invited into walking with him and we can take these physical steps to be a part of it and that we can continue to remember it. So I think we all need to learn more about it. So I invite you all to be a part of our baptism class and prayer walk. We're going to do a class about baptism to learn more about it. And then after the class, right after the class, we're going to go on a prayer walk through the neighborhood. We're going to physically walk with God while we pray. We're hearing what God is thinking and what God might be feeling and God might be desiring and choosing. Like we get to do that and actually participate, and you're all invited to that. You get to be a part of that. So mark your calendars. We're going to just do this Saturday coming up, Saturday, May 14th. We're going to start off in the morning so that we have plenty of time. Rain or shine, we're going to do this prayer walk, because if we have to, we'll just walk inside. It's fine. We can do that, right? Prayer walk inside. You might want to do this in your house. Go on a prayer walk with God inside your house, right? Or walk your dog. Go walk with your kids. Walk with a friend. Invite somebody to go walk with you as you're prayerfully connecting with God. You can do that. You can do that on your own. We're just going to do this together. So whether you've been baptized before or not, come and learn more about baptism and how it is part of your walking in this newness of life. And then we're actually going to walk in this newness of life. We're going to try it. We're going to practice it. And so you're all invited to be a part of that. This whole concept of a new heart and a new walk is all about what your life is actually built upon. Is it built upon your own thoughts and your own feelings and your own desires and your own choices and decisions? Or are you going to build it on what God is directing us to, that mark that he has laid out there for us to go to, that we can walk with him and have our life built up on his thoughts and his feelings and his desires and the things that God would choose? It's up to you what you're going to walk. Pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for giving us a path to walk, that we have forgiveness for missing the mark, and we turn our hearts to you, that we can walk with you from this day forward. Amen.